Well, we are celebrating our anniversary today, and let me start by asking this question. Have you ever been a part of something new when it started before? Maybe you were a part of a new business when it started. Have you ever been involved in a new company that opened, or maybe a business venture startup? Maybe you've been a part of a new school when it opened, or a new service organization. Or maybe some of you, you started a band in your garage with hopes of becoming a rock star. Anybody? How did that work out for you? And maybe, just maybe, some of you were just crazy enough to be with us when we started this church in my living room. Anybody here who was at those very first vision meetings in my living room? Anybody who was here when we met at All Saints on Sunday night? I know some of you were here. A few of you who are crazy enough to believe in us, to not think that we were a cult or something crazy like that, meeting in Pastor Jeremy's living room. And look around, here we are today. Well, you know, there are a few interesting analogies in the church world for describing a new church. One of those analogies is the rocket. We have a picture for you. And it's this idea that you build the ship, you know, you put the boosters in place and the foundation and the body of the rocket, and when it's all put together, you're ready to launch. So some people would say that we had launched a new church last year. We called it our launch last year, right? It's this idea that you put it together and you launch it, you launch a business, you launch a church. The other analogy is the birthing analogy. Some would say that we gave birth to a new church. And I think that's a really good analogy. You know, I spent a good 2 years praying and seeking God about Amy and I's next step in ministry before we felt this call to plant a church. And God began to put this idea, plant this idea inside of me for a church. And so I went to Amy at one point in time and I said, honey, I have to tell you something. I think I'm expecting. I said, baby, I think we're going to have a church. And then I began to go through all the things that a pregnant woman would go through. I began to have morning sickness. I would wake up and say, dear God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to raise the finances? Where are the people going to come from? Is anybody going to show up? And then I went through all the emotional ups and downs of a pregnant woman. Somebody would send money and say, we believe in you, Jeremy and Amy, you can do this. And I was on top of the world. I'm like, baby, we're going to have the greatest church in Westchester County. It's going to be awesome. And then I got to Westchester and I saw how expensive it was to live here. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to be on the street poor. So I went through all of those emotions. And then, you know, you're pregnant for a while getting ready for the church, but then you got to push this baby out. So then, oh, you guys are way too serious this morning. Last year, we get to this point where we have our grand opening, right? And we have the baby. And what happens? Those of you who have had a child before, everybody celebrates and comes alongside of you. Wow, you had this baby. You started a new church. You're successful. This is great. But you know, you got to go home and take care of that baby, right? Amy and I went home and said, oh my Lord, we have to get up next Sunday and do this all over again. Do we have enough people to help us set up the sound system and put all the things out that we have to do? And so everybody else was celebrating. We went home and cried because we had to take care of this baby and care for it. But now our baby is growing and it's turned 1 year old. Isn't this exciting? 1 year old, and you're a part of it. It's not just our baby, but I really think the best analogy for starting a new church is what we would call planting. Some would say this is a church plant. We planted. We are planting a new church together, a local expression of the body of Jesus Christ here in Portchester and in this county. And I think that's a really good analogy because planting evokes images of watering and fertilizing and cultivating, right? So that something can grow and become healthy and vibrant and beautiful. And I believe that's what Jesus has called us to do as we plant his church, as we plant his kingdom, to water it and care for it and love it so it can flourish and become a beautiful expression of his love and the community that he's called us to be a part of. And so as I thought about this special day and what I wanted to share with you on this special occasion, as I began thinking about planting, I felt led to teach on one of Jesus' most famous parables on planting, and that's the parable of the mustard seed. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. That's the first gospel in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. Or if you have your iPhone or your tablet or whatever, you can open up your Bible app. If you don't have a Bible app, just download it and sanctify your phone so you can follow along with us. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus tells a very simple story that's become one of the most famous stories in Scripture, and it's the parable of the mustard seed. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. I'm reading from the NIV today. says he, Jesus, told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. You know, one of the brilliant things that Jesus did as a teacher is he used everyday, ordinary things to open people's eyes to God's truths, to show them truths about the kingdom of God, to show people what God was like. And so Jesus talked a lot about things that were agricultural. He talked about farming. He talked about gardening. He talked about planting, because the culture that he lived in was an agricultural society. They understood those things. That was part of everyday life. So if Jesus were here today in New York, he would talk to us like New Yorkers, like things that we understand, right? So he might say, like, the kingdom of heaven is like the local pizza joint that you love so much, right? He might say, the kingdom of heaven is like taking in a Mets game at Citi Field. Some of you can say amen. He might say, the kingdom of heaven is not like being stuck in traffic on the Cross Bronx Expressway. That's what hell is going to be like. He would have talked about things that we understand. And that's what he did in his culture. And so he says, the kingdom of heaven, in verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now, I would imagine that people were surprised when they heard Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Maybe they expected this great teacher, this great rabbi, this great prophet, Jesus, to stand up and say, the kingdom of heaven is like a mighty mountain. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a strong river. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a majestic oak tree. But Jesus gets up and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Which I think it really must have shocked people and surprised people, because people were familiar with how tiny mustard seeds were. They were the smallest of all of the seeds that people would have planted at that time in Jesus's culture. Smallest seeds used by farmers and gardeners in the Holy Land. Have you ever seen a mustard seed before? We have a picture for you up there. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Maybe you have some at home in your spice rack. They are very tiny. I have a little jar of mustard seeds here, and we're going to pass these around, okay? I want everybody to have a chance. We'll just pass this all around the auditorium. You can look at these, and Jeff's going to help me out here. Now, listen, don't steal my mustard seeds, okay? We're in church, so somebody needs to get these back to me. But pass these around so you can see how tiny a mustard seed is, and then whoever has them last, you can bring them to me at the end of service. So a few facts about the mustard seed. Did you know it takes about 750 mustard seeds to make up a single gram? 750 mustard seeds. It takes 21,000 mustard seeds to make up a single ounce alone. 21,000. The average mustard seed is 1 to 2 millimeters in size, 0.05 of an inch. It is tiny, to say the least. And Jesus said the kingdom of God starts out like a mustard seed. And then in verse 32, he says this, though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. See, with the right conditions, this little tiny mustard seed becomes a mustard plant, which can actually grow to 10 to 15 feet tall and can resemble a small tree. From this little tiny seed can grow this large plant that has branches that almost resembles a small tree, so much so that the birds of the air can come and perch in those branches. Now, mustard seeds are not exactly known for being the most beautiful and majestic plants. They're ill-mannered, they're bushy, they're ill-tempered, and honestly, they're kind of like weeds. In the Holy Land, they were known for being kind of like obnoxious plants that grew like weeds and overtook things. That's what they were known for, and so they wouldn't have been coveted for a garden. But apparently, this isn't a problem for Jesus, for his garden, because Jesus doesn't seem to be so impressed by how majestic and beautiful a mustard plant is. What Jesus seems to be impressed by is the fact that from this tiny little seed, this thing grows and grows and grows and spreads like wildfire. Jesus was showing us something here. In fact, Jesus uses a little bit of exaggeration. The truth is, the average mustard seed, the average mustard plant would not grow to be a plant so large, a small tree so large that the birds of the air could come and perch in its branches. But Jesus uses the mustard seed to demonstrate something that experiences astonishing growth. It's amazing that something so large can grow from something so small. Take a look at those little mustard seeds as we're passing them around this morning and think about a plant that comes from that small seed that grows so tall that it resembles a small tree, 10 to 15 feet from that little tiny seed. And here's what Jesus is showing us. Jesus is showing us that from small things, great things grow. If you're taking notes this morning, you can take out. We gave you a little sheet of notes when you came in today. We always encourage you to take notes so you can go back and revisit the message. But you might want to just jot that down today. From small things, great things grow. So you might feel small today. You might be here today and say, Pastor Jeremy, I feel really small in the things of God. I feel really small in the kingdom of God. I don't have a glorious, wonderful heritage in the faith. I haven't been in church my whole life. I've made a few mistakes here and there. I don't know if I'd exactly be in the saint category. I might be more in the sinner category. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. I've got good news for you. From small things, great things grow. Come on, from small things, great things grow. You might have a God-given dream today. I'm not talking about a pipe dream or a pizza dream, but you might have a dream that God placed in your heart for your purpose, for what your life is meant to be about. It might be a vision for a ministry, or it might be a nonprofit, or it might be a business, or maybe it's just a picture of what God wants for your family, for your children, for your marriage, for your community, for your workplace. And that dream right now might feel so itty-bitty tiny that for you, it's like a seed. It seems impossible. Everybody else would never believe it. Maybe it sounds crazy to everybody else, but you know, for you, it's inside of your heart like a little bitty seed. And I have good news for you today. Here's what I want to tell you. From small things, great things grow. God can take that seed and he can do something bigger with it than you could ever imagine. You might have faith today that feels like a mustard seed. Jesus said, if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Your faith today might feel that way. You might say, Pastor Jeremy, I've been through some things that have rattled my faith. I've had some disappointments. I've had some doubts. I've wrestled with even what I believe about God. And here's what I believe. I can muster up enough faith to have mustard seed faith. I don't have that big of faith. I don't have very impressive faith, but I've got the faith of a mustard seed today. Here's the good news for you. God can work with that. God can work with that, because you know what? From small things, great things grow. From small things, great things grow. And Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Listen, this was true for Jesus. This was true for Jesus, because he's teaching first and foremost here about the kingdom of God. Jesus was a nobody from nowhere. He was born in a stable, right, in Bethlehem, if you remember the story, right? Not exactly the nicest place to be born. He grew up in a little hick backwoods town in a province that was far flung on the backside of the Roman Empire, a little town called Nazareth. People said nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Jesus got run out of a lot of places. He was despised. He was rejected. He was not a celebrity by any means early on in his ministry. And then you look at his disciples. He had a bunch of uneducated fishermen around him. He had a bunch of zealots, revolutionaries. We might call them terrorists today. Jesus was recruiting terrorists to follow him. He had women following him in a very male-dominated culture. And finally, of all of his disciples, out of the 12, he had one who was a traitor. Not exactly the who's who of Jesus's culture. Not exactly a bunch of dudes who would be voted most likely to succeed. That's who Jesus had following him. The odds were stacked against him. Hello, that's what was going on when Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Now, fast forward 2,000 years later, over 2 billion Christians on the planet. Christians from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, churches, expressions of the gospel all around this world, schools, hospitals, orphanages, ministries, missions, all established all over the place. Jesus Christ is the most famous person to ever walk the face of the earth. Hello, it starts like a mustard seed, but from small things, great things can grow and happen. Are you with me this morning? It's amazing. It's amazing. Do you think the disciples could have pictured us here today in America, thousands of miles away from where they were standing in the Holy Land at the time? Hello, we are the branches. We're the birds flocking in the branches of the tree today, because from small things, great things grow. That's what Jesus was showing us. You know, when Amy and I moved here to Westchester 2 years ago, all we had was a seed. All we had was a seed, this calling that we felt God had placed in our hearts to plant a life-giving church. We didn't have all the answers. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't really know anybody. We didn't have family and friends here. The odds were kind of stacked against us. We went through the hardest time of our lives. I almost lost my mind. In fact, you have to be half crazy to start a church in a movie theater, by the way. But I'm going to tell you what we had. I'm going to tell you what we had. We had a mustard seed. We had a mustard seed of faith. We had a mustard seed of faith that we held onto. And you know what we did? We planted that seed in the ground. We said, God, we give it back to you. We give it back to you. And from small things, great things grow. And look around you today at what God has done, what God is doing. And I believe the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And so I want to say this to you today. You have no idea. You have no idea what a seed can become. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write that down. You have no idea what a seed can become. Jesus said this in verse 32. He said, the mustard plant that grows from the seed, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that, everybody say so that. So that the birds come and perch in its branches. I just want to camp out there for a moment and talk about that so that. So that. Something that God does, unexpected and bigger than we ever realize. In 1936, a sociologist named Robert Merton, he wrote a paper called The Unanticipated Consequence of Purposive Action. Purposive Action. And he addressed what is commonly known today as the law of unintended consequences. Anybody familiar with that? The law of unintended consequences? Simply put, every decision that we make and every action we take has an unintended consequence beyond our control and our ability to predict. And so these unintended consequences, they come in two flavors. Here's the first one. It's unexpected drawbacks. Have you ever had unexpected drawbacks before? This is when that decision that you make that was supposed to be good blows up in your face. Like, hey, honey, let's remodel the bathroom together and we'll do it ourselves. How'd that work out for you? Hey, I've got a good idea. Let's get in the minivan and drive to Disney World this year with all the kids. It'll be a great time. We'll have so much fun. By the time you get there, you need like family therapy, counseling, shock therapy, everything just to recover from the drive, right? That's when things blow up in our faces, right? It's unexpected. It was unintended consequences. It was unexpected drawbacks. Things backfire on us. But on the flip side of the coin, for every action, every decision that we make, there can come unexpected benefits. Unexpected benefits, the things that we didn't see, the benefits we didn't see coming. For example, in the late 90s, I showed up at Southwestern University in Texas, and I went there to pursue my education. I felt a call of God on my life as a young man. I wanted to go to a Christian college and begin studying the Bible as well. I also had a chance to play a little college football. Now I know when you look at me and you see my imposing physique, the first thing you think automatically is college football player. I know it's what comes to mind. So, you know, I went to Texas to pursue those things. And wouldn't you know it, I met this girl named Amy from Buffalo, New York. Now I had never been to Buffalo, New York before, but Buffalo, New York came to me, hallelujah. Talk about unexpected benefits, right? Now, I got an education. I got a college degree from Southwestern University. I got to play a little college football. Well, actually, I sat the bench mostly. I made a lot of lifelong friends. God worked in my life. I learned a lot about the Bible and theology and all those wonderful things. But the best thing that happened to me at Southwestern University is my wife, Amy. Hallelujah for unexpected benefits. That's unexpected benefits. Here's what I want to say to you this morning, church. That farmer, when he went out to plant that mustard seed, he didn't plant that mustard seed so that he could have a tree so large that the birds had a place to come and perch. He planted that mustard seed because he wanted mustard on his hot dog. Are you with me? He planted that mustard seed because he wanted mustard on his hot dog. He didn't plant that mustard seed so that it would turn out to be a tree so big that birds could come and perch in it. And here's what I want to say to you today. God has ulterior motives for your life. God has ulterior motives for your life. Faith comes with unexpected benefits. Oh, there's drawbacks sometimes. There's hard things that we have to work through. Things blow up in our face every now and then. But the thing about faith is it also comes with unexpected benefits. God has a so that for your life, a so that for your life. And I believe it's a good thing for you. And so here's the deal, guys. Our job is to simply plant the mustard seed and to water it, to care for it. It's God's job to make it grow. Whatever that mustard seed represents for you, whatever the dream is, whatever the vision is that God's put in your heart, whatever it is that God's placed in your heart that you're supposed to do for him, your life's purpose, our job is to simply take the mustard seed, give it to God. We plant it, but God is the Lord of the harvest who comes and he causes it to grow. And here's what I want to say to you today. Your faith can have far more impact than you could ever imagine. Please write that down today if you're taking notes today. Your faith can have far more impact than you could ever imagine. You see, we think that what God is doing for us is just about us. Let's be honest. If we can just fess up for a moment and just be honest for a moment. A lot of times faith for us is very selfish because we love when God blesses us and does stuff for us and we pray like that. And sometimes we just kind of, you know, faith just all revolves around what God's doing for us. But here's the thing I want to tell you today. It has to do with unexpected benefits. What God is doing for you is not just for you. He gave it to you. He blessed you to put it through you to somebody else. God is blessing you to bless somebody else. Your faith, God wants it to pour into you so much that it overflows, that you can be a blessing to somebody else. And so God thinks much bigger than us. We think here and now. We think our situation. We think our little sphere of life. But God is thinking generations and nations. Are you with me this morning? Hello. Jesus is talking about a mustard seed with a ragtag group of disciples, knowing that we're going to be here one day. He saw it all. He saw his kingdom exploding and growing like wildfire. He saw the big picture. They probably didn't see it. And sometimes we get this little tunnel vision about our little lives, our little careers, buying a nice house we can get, best car we can drive, our little things. But God sees much bigger than that. God's like, no. I've got way bigger plans for you. I've got way bigger unexpected benefits for you. I've got a way bigger so that for your life. So what God's doing through you, it might be for generations. You never know how it's going to impact your kids, your family, your neighbors, whoever. I want to close by telling you a story this morning. The worship team's going to come back in just a moment, but I want to tell you a story. Speaking of generations, my grandmother grew up in what's called a shotgun house in the great city of New Orleans. And a shotgun house is a double house that is narrow and deep, and it's identical on both sides, thus a shotgun house. And My great-grandparents owned the house. My grandmother grew up there, my dad's mother. And during the Great Depression, they had to rent out one side of the house because that's what everybody did to make ends meet during that time. And my grandmother had some kind of faith tradition. I think she was Presbyterian or Methodist, some kind of mainline Protestant tradition, but she wasn't active in the church. I don't believe her grandparent, my great-grandparents, her parents were active in the church. But would you know, during the Great Depression, a lady and her daughter came to rent the other side of my great-grandparents' house. And would you know that little lady invited my grandmother and her sisters to a little spirit-filled Pentecostal church, which was the only church like that in all of town in that whole area. And my grandmother went there, and she met Jesus, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit, and her life was completely changed. And wouldn't you know, she had six boys, and she raised all of them in the church to know God. And wouldn't you know that those six boys went on to have a whole lot of kids, and they had kids. And you know, 2 years ago, my dear grandmother died at 96 years old. She went to be with Jesus. And when she died, my cousin was pregnant with the fifth generation. So here we are, five generations later, people serving God in the house of God, our lives forever changed. Listen, I don't know that lady's name, but here's what I know. That little lady who invited my grandmother to church, she planted a mustard seed. She planted a seed. Would you believe that my grandmother would have six boys, and one of her boys would be my dad, and he would have four sons who would all go into the ministry, and one of his sons would be crazy enough to marry a girl from New York and move to Westchester and plant a church, and you're here today. Do you understand what I'm saying today? God has unexpected benefits for your life. God has a big so that for your life. We plant little seeds that we think are for here and now, but God's thinking about impacting generations. I want to say to you today, you never know how your life can touch somebody. You never know what God can do with your life. Today, you might feel insignificant. You might not feel very talented. You might not have a lot of money and resources, but I'm telling you, if all you got is a mustard seed, you're in the business of the kingdom, because God takes small things and he causes them to grow, and he does mind-blowing bigger things with our lives than we could ever imagine. So if all you got's a little bit of faith, you're okay. You're okay. So worship team, come back. And just what I want to say to you today, we're celebrating today all that God has done. Thank God for what he's done in our church over the past year. I'll hold it together because I could get emotional talking about it. I could get emotional seeing you here today and seeing God touch people's lives. That's what means more than anything to me, because that's why we came here to do this. But here's what I want to tell you today. We are reaping what we didn't sow. Somebody prayed before us. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for the church in this area. Pastors who have been here for generations prayed for this area. We're reaping what we didn't sow. And what we're sowing right now as a church, what you're sowing as a follower of Jesus, what you're sowing as a part of the body of Christ, as a member of God's family, is it's for somebody else. It's not just for you. It's not just about you. What you're sowing can impact somebody else's life. So we plant and we water and we cultivate, but God is the one who brings the harvest. God is the one who causes the seed to grow and become something greater than we could ever imagine. And so here's my simple question for you today. As we celebrate this anniversary, as we begin the second year of our church that Joe talked about, as we begin a new year, what are you doing with your seed? Take a moment. Come on, this is your moment between you and God. What are you doing with that little bit of seed that you have? Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it just remains one seed. But if it dies, it becomes many, many, many seeds. It saves many lives. Here's the thing about our seed. It's precious because we only get one. We only get one. And so many people are planting their seed in things that don't matter. They're planting their seed in status. They're planting their seed in climbing up the corporate ladder. They're planting their seed in a bigger house, a better car, all of these things that we think matter, but they don't last. But Jesus invites us to plant our seed into something that will last for eternity, something that will change lives. Something that will far outlast you after you're gone. See, when I came to Westchester, I had to plant my seed. When Jesus called me to plant a church, he called me to plant my seed. I had to put everything on the line. I had to put my finances on the line. I had to put my kids on the line, my marriage on the line, my whole life. And I said, God, it's yours. Because if I can plant this seed, God, you can take it and you can do something with it that I could never do on my own. I had to plant my seed. I read a quote on Facebook the other day. I didn't even read this book, so I can't even vouch for it, but man, this quote hit me. A guy named Rusty Rustenbach, in his book, Giving Yourself Away, he said, "You and I live in an age when only a rare minority of individuals desire to spend their lives in pursuit of objectives which are bigger than they are. In our age, for most people, when they die, it will be as though they never lived." Wow. So true, isn't it? Let me ask you this question today. Two questions. What are you doing with your seed? And then what would happen if we collectively as a church planted some seed together? What would that look like if we planted a seed together for a church that would touch lives, that would change people's lives here in Westchester? What would that look like for you? I don't know what it looks like for you to plant your seed with us. Maybe it means you start giving this year. Maybe it means you start serving with our team this year. Maybe it means you get involved in life groups or you start a ministry and say, Pastor, I want to go do something to bless somebody. Maybe it's just getting more involved in the life of the church and building relationships. But I'm standing up here today inviting you to be a part of what God is doing. Thank God we're celebrating all he's done this past year. But I believe God is issuing an invitation to us today to plant our seed together, to do something greater together than we could ever imagine, we could ever do by ourselves. Because I'm going to tell you, God didn't call us here to plant a nice little church, but I believe God wants a church where lives are going to be changed, people are going to get healed, marriages are going to be restored, people are going to be set free, they're going to encounter the love of Jesus Christ and be changed. And so whatever that means for you, I really want you to pray, what does that mean for me to be a part of planting my seed here? Would you stand with me as I pray for you this morning? And I just want to invite you to answer that question for yourself. What would it look like to plant your seed personally? What does that mean for you? What's your purpose in life? What has he called you to? What's that thing he put inside of you that he wants to take and make it greater than you could ever imagine? I'm talking about that God-given dream, not an ego dream, but what God wants to use your life for. I can tell you one thing, he's inviting all of us to be a part of his kingdom and to build his church, to give our lives to his cause, to build something that will far outlast all of us, to be a part of a legacy that will last and go beyond us and last for generations. And I don't know about you, but I want to invest my life in his kingdom. I want to invest my life in his kingdom for something that will go on and go on for ages long after I'm gone. So Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this day of celebration. God, we celebrate all that you've done, all that you've done this past year in our church, in the lives of people who are here today. God, you get all the glory because only you could have done what you've done, God. And we stand back and we celebrate you because you're a good God and you're faithful. And we thank you for our church family today. And God, I pray for every person in this place that you would help them, give them the strength, give them the courage to give their lives back to you, their seed back to you. Maybe today you just need to say, Jesus, I give my life to you. Maybe you've never done that before, but Jesus, I give my life to you. And then God, collectively as a church, we're planting a seed together. God, show us what it means to be all in. Show us what it means to give of ourselves, to be a part of building your kingdom, your church, God, so that we can see your kingdom expand in Westchester and Connecticut, Metro New York. We can see lives change for your glory. We thank you for it, God, and we believe the best is yet to come. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name.